If you find yourself with a new smartphone you got over the holidays, heads up, 3 million Americans had their smartphones stolen from them last year. Consumer advocates have pushed for tougher security standards to prevent theft, and they have gotten some. But black market entrepreneurs are finding new ways to keep the business in stolen smartphones booming. Matthew Shea writes about this in the latest issue of Wired in a story that's called The Secret World of Stolen Smartphones. Matt, how does this thriving underground network in stolen phones work?
Well, I think that people are aware of street-level smartphone theft. In other words, there's been a lot of publicity around what has been called apple picking, which is essentially the kind of, you know, street robbery where someone runs by and steals the phone out of your hand. What people are less aware of is the other ways in which criminals steal smartphones, which involve far more complicated schemes and also involve far more money. There's usually a lot more smartphones in each theft. We're talking millions of dollars as opposed to the average street theft where a criminal is getting away with, let's say, one, two phones and then selling them to a pawn shop.
So how does it happen?
There's a lot of different ways to steal smartphones. The two most prevalent ways right now that law enforcement are seeing are smash and grabs and credit muling. Smash and grabs are essentially where someone will go into a, let's say, a Radio Shack or a Best Buy, break down the door, and make off with, let's say, you know, a parcel of phones, let's say 300 smartphones. Now, those smartphones, because they haven't been activated yet, you can picture them, you know, they're in the sealed box, they haven't been opened, are worth an incredible amount of money, especially if they can be shipped overseas to foreign markets. We see them going to, let's say, Asia is a popular destination, South America, where they can be sold for a lot of money. Credit muling is when, and you have to take a step back to think about how we buy smartphones in the U.S. Typically, we buy smartphones on a contract, right? We pay $200 and then we pay a monthly fee. That smartphone is being subsidized by the carrier. But in essence, an iPhone, for instance, is worth about $600. So in credit muling, what happens is a guy or a woman will typically go into, let's say, a homeless shelter or a halfway house, and they will say, okay, we need somebody to buy us five or six phones for us, and for that, we're going to pay you $100 in cash. So the mules, who are these people who are going into these shops, will go in, purchase the phones, in the process ruining their credit, take that $100 in cash, and those five or six phones will go to a middleman who then will go and pass those phones on to somebody higher up the chain of command. Now, if you do this over and over again in various cities, you can amass massive amounts of phones for a relatively small amount of money.
But who's controlling this? I mean, it sounds like a kind of cartel. Is there one entity that's at the head of this, or is this all freelance?
Well, to a certain extent, it's freelance. I examined a couple different cases. One of them was a husband and wife team out of Sacramento. Now, they were the heads of the organization. In that racket, they were making about $2.5 million a year or thereabout.
Does the vendor, whoever's selling the smartphone to the mule, as you say, which in some cases could be a homeless person who's been given some money to buy these phones, does the vendor have any choice or motivation right now to say no or at least be suspect when someone comes in and buys six smartphones?
You know, it's a really good question. I think that it's something that law enforcement is still trying to figure out how to handle because technically, you know, a salesperson at a Radio Shack or Best Buy doesn't really have any reason or the right legally to say, no, you can't buy these phones.
They can't say you're cut off.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and in my reporting, I did find cases where red flags were raised, but law enforcement was never notified.
So you write that until recently, producers of smartphones had little incentive to fight against smartphone theft, even on a large scale. What's changed?
Now, again, I should stress that what we're talking about here with smartphone manufacturers is street-level crimes. Now, about 2 or 3 years ago, this sort of reached a fever pitch, especially in San Francisco and New York City, also in London. What's changed is that manufacturers have come under a lot of pressure to introduce security software on their phones in a way that makes it harder for thieves to get away with taking our smartphones. And one way that they've done that, smartphone manufacturers, is to introduce something which is sort of, it's known as a kill switch, quote unquote, although it's not exactly that. And essentially, the security software makes a phone inoperable once the owner has sort of flipped a switch. So if you own an iPhone and your phone has been stolen, you can get yourself to your laptop and you can make that phone inoperable, or you can track where that phone is going. And it seems to have worked to a large extent. In San Francisco and New York, since activation lock has been introduced by Apple, street theft has gone down to a considerable degree, in some cases by up to 30%.
And there's legislation in both California and Minnesota that's been passed that mandates that smartphone users have the ability to lock a stolen handset.
Yes, there's legislation that says essentially that smartphone manufacturers by the middle of 2015 will have to include some sort of security. But again, this is one kind of theft, right? This is the kind of theft where someone steals your phone as you're coming out of the subway, as you're coming out of the metro. This does not cover larger scale theft. This is only for activated devices that you've purchased and turned on this activation lock.
So what is there to protect those devices that are stolen from vendors on a larger scale?
Nothing now. There's nothing. And this is why law enforcement, I think, to a certain extent, is scrambling. So, you know, you think of any type of crime, you know, you close down one part of the type of crime, or you make it harder for people to steal phones in one way, and they're just going to steal phones another way. So this is why we're starting to see more smash-and-grab type thefts. We're starting to see more credit muling, because this is the way right now. There's no protections against that kind of crime.
That's Matt Shaer. You can find his story, The Secret World of Stolen Smartphones, in the latest issue of Wired magazine. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.